God has an encouraging word for you and me today about something we already have, but we need to be sharing. That's coming up next. You may or may not know the story in the Bible of a friend who was carried by four other friends to the feet of Jesus. This friend was paralyzed, and because of his buddy's faith, the ones that carried him to Jesus, he was healed. Is there somebody in your life that needs the healing of Christ, and you need to be carrying them to him, witnessing to them? A people worth witnessing to is our message today from Dr. Don Wilton, well-known evangelist and author. And here at The Encouraging Word, we want you to know we'd pray for you right now about what's going on in your life at 866-899-WORD, even as we study the Bible. That's 866-899-9673, or meet us online at theencouragingword.org. And now, Dr. Don Wilton.
I'm so happy to see you and to be with you, to fellowship like this. But that love which I have in my heart comes to me because God loves me. He loved me so much that He gave His only Son, the Lord Jesus, to die for me. And I now pass that on to you. And I want you to hear something this morning as we open our Bibles to the book of Acts and chapter 19. I want you to hear something. This is a very important statement. I want you to know from my heart, as Don Wilton, that you are a people worth witnessing to. You are worth it. Here's why you're worth it: because Jesus makes all the difference. I just want you to know, I want you to know that He's changed my life. It's worth it. So take a look over here with me, because we must understand how worth it is, what Paul did. And so on this, his third journey, just God came to this man. Who, by the way, and get this today, Paul himself was a sinner. He was a bad one. I mean, he persecuted the church, and he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, and his whole life changed. All of a sudden, he had joy, peace, forgiveness. And God came to him and said to him, I want you to go and tell all people about me, because everybody's worth it. Now, if there's anything that Satan is going to try and do to you right now, he's going to try and convince you that you're not worth it, that you're beyond God, you're beyond Jesus. And so what happened here was that he left Antioch, where he was, remember, his home church. He always went back to base. And he left here and he traveled through this whole region here. And his first real stop of any significance, and we're going to zoom in here, is this place called Ephesus. Right here. It suddenly jumped off my finger. There he is there. This place called Ephesus. And a remarkable city. And some of you will remember that Ephesus was really a cosmopolitan city for back in that day and age. I mean, he might as well have landed in Chicago or New Orleans or Atlanta, in your city, in my city, my town. And he came here into Ephesus, and there they were. Well, who? All the people I just spoke to you about. They were all there. I mean, he just walked into this humanity. They were all there. You know, we've got some very dear friends with us today who are actually worshiping with us. They serve the Lord right here in this part of Turkey. They're right here today with us. And they'll tell you, this is an interesting part. This is right on the western border of Turkey back in that time, really a Greek city in many ways, but it was under Roman governance, and even Caesar Augustus had seen to it that the prosperity that he had in mind for the Roman provinces would find its expression in Ephesus. So they were very prosperous there. So guess who really wanted to live in Ephesus? Business people. They opened businesses. Prosperity was very prominent there. This is a port city. You can see it right here on the Aegean Sea. So you got a lot of port traffic coming in and out, merchants, shops. Just love to go there. I mean, just a lot of things here. Even today, you can go there. A lot of ships land right there. And you come into the port city, and there are just shops ad infinitum in the city that really is the entranceway into the city of Ephesus today as we know it. Beautiful. And I mean, the restaurants and everything. Some of the best food you've ever eaten in your life. Well, way back then, this place here was just like a gathering of prominent people, business people. I mean, there were deals going on. And of course, every time you have prosperity, you have poverty everywhere. If you've got prosperity, I'll guarantee you'll have poverty. They just coexist all the time, everywhere, all around the world. So you had massive poverty. You had the working class at the bottom of the list. And by the way, they became like a segmented group. There were those who were kind of Roman, and there were those who were Turkish, and there were those who came from this persuasion. And there was kind of a racial attitude that was present right here in Ephesus. I mean, you're not going to believe this, but there were actually people who didn't like other people just because of the color of their skin. That went on there. And so racial attitudes were all over the place. Haves and have-nots, rich and poor. Oh, by the way, did I mention this? You talk about politics? See, the Romans were involved, and so the business community and many others, they wanted to be in the good books of the Romans. So everybody who was anybody wanted to run for office. So you had guilds, you had business people backing people running for office, and when they ran for office, they got up and said, "You elect me, I promise you I'll open your shop right up on that strategic corner there, and I'll make sure you get the best business." So bribery and corruption. I know we've never heard of that in America, but I'm just saying, back here in Ephesus, what was there not there? Oh, by the way, they built this incredible library there. These were learned people. They were academics. I mean, they went to school there. They studied. Their medical university was bar none. They send people all over the place. And then to actually sort of add to all of it, there's that old temple, the temple of Artemis, A-R-T-E-M-I-S, A-R-T-E-M-I-S, the temple of Artemis. She was the goddess known as Diana to the Romans, and she was the goddess of fertility, chastity, childbearing. Don't mess with a lady and her body. And so they translated even the very issues related to those things that belonged to God into the political arena of their lives. They said, "What we're going to do is we forget about God. Who's God? We worship cults. We're pagans. We worship brick and mortar and stone. God has nothing to do with this. So what we're going to do is we're going to take even the very sanctity of life and we're going to translate it into the fabric of our own human genius and we're going to turn it into a political weapon." Ephesus. Here comes Paul. I think, I'm not trying to put words into Paul's mouth, but I think Paul, in many ways... And if you read his letter to the church at Ephesus, I think he did this. I think Paul stood up there and said, "Excuse me, hello, excuse me, everyone. I'm not here to talk about your Republicans and your Democrats and your issues or your businesses or your ups or your downs, I want to tell you about Jesus.
My goodness, what a glorious ending to a powerful message from the pastor today. And the challenge is real for me and real for you. Will we be the one? Will we take that stand? And sometimes the stand is going to be very subtle. It's at work. It's even in our families where we have to say, we know that this is right, and so let us speak out about it. I think the way we speak out is critical as well. If you'd like to have someone praying with you about how to share the truth in love, about how to be the men and women of God we need to be, whether it's in that sporting situation or at business or in our families, let us pray with you and for you. We do that 24 hours a day at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Or if you want to connect on...
Hello, my friends. Just want to personally speak to you today from my heart to yours. You know, it seems to me that throughout the world, people from every walk of life, both churched and unchurched, struggle with questions just like this. What is salvation? Who's my salvation? Will I go to heaven? Well, what happens when I sin? Most of you know that I had a long, wonderful, personal relationship with Dr. Billy Graham, how much he impacted my life and millions of people around the world. You know, on one of our occasions, back in the early 2000s, Mr. Graham looked at me and he said, Don, there are two critical things that we need to deal with. Number one, the question of salvation, people giving their lives to Christ. I said to him, Mr. Graham, what's the second? He said that those people who have given their lives to Christ know that they belong to Him. And so it is that he encouraged me to write a wonderful book called Totally Secure, that people all across the country have in their possession today. In fact, he even wrote the foreword for me. I want you to have that assurance that we write about from God's Word, that you are going to heaven. Please pick up the telephone right now and call the number and request a copy. The encouraging broadcast Word is supported by viewers and listeners like you who want to make a difference in our world. So thanks for requesting my book, Totally Secure. Your financial support enables us to continue forward for Christ.
Wow, our time is gone, but as your story is unfolding.
Listen, these people believe, man, go there and worship pagans, go ballistic, do whatever you want to do, but don't come here with Jesus, man. Are we going to get to that? It got so bad they went into a rioting frenzy eventually. Let's read about it. Just a few verses, just a few excerpts. Let's start in Acts chapter 18, verse 24. Now a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was an eloquent man, competent in the scriptures. Verse 26, he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. Chapter 19 and verse 1. As it happened, that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through inland country and he came to Ephesus. And there he found some disciples, and he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They said, no, we've not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. And he said to them, into there, what then were you baptized? And they said, into John's baptism. And Paul looked at them and said, man, what a great man. But you're believing sincerely, not knowingly. Your belief is misguided. Said, even John was telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him. That is Jesus. Let's go down to verse 8. Then he entered the synagogue. For 3 months he spoke boldly, reasoning, persuading them, here it is again, about the kingdom of God. Let's go down to verse 11. This is all in Ephesus. And God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul. By the way, they didn't have the Bible. Paul was it. God used him in every way. Okay, go down to verse 20. I'm going to fill in the gaps for you in just a minute. Verse 20. So the word of the Lord continued to increase and prevailed mightily. May I just say this to you again? My name is Don Wilton. and I'm a Christian man. And Jesus came into my heart. I didn't deserve that. I'm a sinner. Sinned grievously against God. I was destined to be separated from Him for all time and eternity. But because He loved me, He revealed Himself to me, and I gave my heart and life to Jesus, and He came to my heart, and He forgave me for all of my sin. And He restored me, reconciled me, number one, to God, number two, to my fellow man. And then get this, in my life, He said to me, I want you to get up from your Antioch. I want you to go to the world. And here's what I want you to do. I don't want you to preach politics or business. All I want you to do is just to love all people in the name of Jesus and tell them about me. That's what Paul was doing. That's what you and I do. And it's hard to stick to this because we all have stuff. We all have feelings. We all have emotions. We all have persuasions. We're all individuals. And then to make it even better, we live in the greatest country in the world. And we now know we've got a right to live, to do, to say whatever we want to do, because that's my right. Don't mess with my rights. And that's my problem. And Jesus came into my heart, and because His Spirit has come into my life, I am submitting myself to His Spirit by His help. And my life is following Jesus. That's what Paul did. So, what do we find in the city of Ephesus? Well, we find that there were some people who spoke boldly. We read about Apollos. That was going on amongst those people. We find that some people believed sincerely. Right there in chapter 19. I've never met a more American few verses in all my life. It's like, and we didn't even exist, but it's like every time I read that, I think of me and my people and us, of who I am. These people believed sincerely, but they weren't saved. How can you be saved? Because John can't save anybody. Listen, hello, do you know how many unbelievably precious, wonderful, deeply sincere people there are in every city, in every community, in our own world? We're surrounded. Can I tell you something, folks, with all the love? There are no greater people on the face of the earth than the American person. You won't find a more generous person, open-hearted, more hospitable. And we've got a slew of men and women who have sacrificed their lives for this country. You can be as genuinely lovely and as sincere and as wonderful. I want you to know that what I had to do was to give my heart to Jesus, because this Bible tells me that it's at the name of Jesus that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's not John the Baptist. It's not Billy Graham. It's not Don the Wilton. It's not Abraham. It's not the Pope. It's not your priest, your bishop. Jesus. And don't get me wrong, I mentioned my name. I hope I'm a jolly nice person to you. I think I'm quite frankly, I think I'm, all right, let's get on to the next subject here. So some believed sincerely. And what did Paul do? He arrived there and he said, let me tell you about Jesus. Number three, some resisted stubbornly. Bible tells us in verse 8 to 10 that there was stubborn resistance to the gospel. this during these weeks. I'm thinking so much of our students, aren't you? Many have already arrived on campuses. I've got friends who went and unpacked their sons and daughters on our college campuses and are still doing it. Our high school students, kindergartners, love our students, proud of them. Promise you, on those campuses, all of this is going to be there. Right there, even on a campus. It's going to be some who are going to speak boldly the word of God. There are going to be some who just sincerely are religious. Salt of the earth, many of them. And there are going to be some who resist stubbornly. That's what happened in these verses here. Bible tells us very clearly, he entered there and reasoning with them, persuading them. And some became stubborn, continued in their unbelief. Do you know that there's someone listening to me right now? You are stubbornly going to just walk away from God in a minute. You're going to say, oh, I know it one day, but right now, you're just going to get stubborn. Some were touched miraculously. I love this in verse 11 and 12. Bible says there, God was doing extraordinary miracles through Paul. And in this regard, even handkerchiefs, aprons that had touched his skin were carried away to the sick. Paul was their Bible. He was to them the carrying over of the gospel. God used him. God came in there. God will use you. I want to encourage you something, because I think there are some precious friends right now who you need a miracle, don't you? What is a miracle? Miracle is something that only God can do. Otherwise, it's not a miracle. But let me tell you, God will use anything at His disposal. Listen to your doctor. God will use your doctor. Listen to your best friend who loves Jesus. Seek after that. You want a miracle in your life? Don't put a limit on God. Can I just say that? Don't tell God no. Identify what it is. Give yourself to prayer and fasting. Bring into your circle a small group of very godly people to pray with you. Anticipate what God's going to do, and then trust Him. Take Him at His word. And you'll receive God's miracle. Never find yourself getting to the point at which you say, I'm done. Nothing can be done. That's hard. I prayed with a dear man yesterday. Both Karen and I did. We both prayed with him and for him. Just love him. Just prayed with him. Held his hand. Just prayed with him. He's been very ill. Somewhere in my prayer I said, Lord, I pray for this boy. He loves you. Misses being in church. Can't be. A precious man. I pray for God's miracle. Rick Smith, God's miracle. We prayed for you, brother. I can go around this place everywhere. I start naming one person after another. Where you've been down, you've been almost declared out. And a miracle is something that God does. And that's the part that we've got to rest ourselves in Him. Whether He does or whether He doesn't. It brings the big why. When God doesn't heal, why? Why, Lord? Why? Why didn't you heal my husband? Why didn't you heal my friend? Why did you do this? That's not a criminal question. God knows that. Of course. Because it brings us in conflict with our emotions. I can't explain it to you why, but I do know that God does. I want to trust Him, don't you? And I'm going to pray for you. I'm praying for you because I love you. In the name of Jesus, I'll put my hands on you. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to ask God to heal you. That's what he did when he came to Ephesus. It doesn't matter if you're Republican or Democrat. It doesn't matter whether you've got enough money or don't have enough. It doesn't matter. God loves you. Give your life to Jesus. Now, what happened here? Some were touched miraculously, and as a consequence, in verse 13 through 20, some were delivered mightily. That last part there about the presence and power of the evil one, the desire of Satan to sift us as wheat, to get a hold of the hearts of our people and our nation and our young people. But God, who is sovereign and mighty and powerful, he prevailed. What happened? People were delivered mightily, so the word of the Lord continued to increase and prevailed mightily. I like that, don't you? So now, where are we? It's what I wanted to share with you today. You are well worth sharing it with, because God loves you. The only difference between the best of us in here, the worst of them out there, is the grace of God, my friend. Would you bow your heads with me this morning as our team comes and joins me? I want you to consider your verdict today. Give your life to Christ. I want to invite you to turn your heart over to Jesus.
Our time's just about gone, but before we go, I want to remind you one more time that phone number is 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. And we're connecting keyboard to keyboard online as well at theencouragingword.org. Now, I mentioned at the beginning of the program, and already we've had folks texting in, if you are interested in receiving an email from Dr. Wilton every single day, a daily encouraging word, a touch of scripture, an opportunity to see how that unfolds, maybe peel it back a little bit. And then see how it applies.
I want to say something to you personally. You ready for this? Thank you. It's a powerful word, isn't it? Small one, powerful. I want to thank you. You see, the sun hardly rises or sets in a day that we don't see people come to know Christ through this broadcast ministry every day. And you make that possible through your prayers, most of all, and through your financial giving. God is doing something great. And in our world today, this medium of television, very important, folks. This is very, very important. God is allowing us to go into more and more homes across the United States of America. Thank you for helping us make this possible. And let's never stop praying that people would come to know Jesus. God bless you.
Our time is gone, but remember our website, theencouragingword.org, and this phone number. We answer 24 hours a day and would love to speak with you, pray with you, connect with resources at 866-899-9673.